B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mabb.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boom.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mabb.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two of the program. Maz, give me your temperature on the Celtics. How do you feel about what you've seen the last couple of games?
Okay, so I would say overall, believe it or not, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good. And I'm not telling you it's perfect. Jason Tatum was a complete dog in the first one, but there were little things that I see that I like. And in fact, I just said to Murray, you know who looked pretty good? Kemba. I thought Walker looked pretty good in the time he was on the floor. I think Jaylen Brown looks pretty good. I thought Tice played well yesterday. And so, to me, you know, there are certain things that I think that they are going to, certain challenges they are going to present to other teams. Would I bet on them to win it? No. Do they have an outside shot? Yes. Particularly if Kemba stays healthy, because that, and I, oh, the other one that's important to me too, Hayward. I thought Hayward overall looked pretty good. Not great, pretty good. I give him a B plus, maybe a B. But he's still not as explosive as I thought he was going to be. And so I don't know if he's ever really gotten over that leg thing. I thought maybe with the time off, it would be a little better. He's still not quite the same, but he's more involved. And if he's out there with the second unit, it helps. And so, I mean, overall, Celtics look pretty good. Yeah, I thought they looked pretty good. Yeah,
I know you don't want to. I'm sorry, Murray. One second. I just want to get to Maz here.
I know, begrudgingly.
I know, it's like,
oh, my God, the crowbar it takes. So there's been movement, Maz. There's been movement, correct?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I like is that I just, you know, when they're playing well, they really do kind of, they can hit you a lot of different ways. So if Tatum goes bad, I think they're porked, because in the big game at the big moments, they're going to need him to make those shots. Okay, but and I think it's too early. I don't think they're quite there yet. But in terms of how they played the games and the contributions they got from different people, and you know what Kemba was able to do in his time in there, and all of it, again, pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, if Kemba's healthy and looks like how he's looked, and that was a nice surprise considering how he's been talked about here and that the knee wasn't fine after 4 months and all that layoff. I thought he was really good on Friday, and I want them to continue to actually hold him on the minutes restriction, even if you could use him late. But that's good. And if he looks like that, and if Tatum and Brown play like they play yesterday, they can hang with anybody, period.
Walker looked polished to me. And it's been a long time since we've seen him like that. He looked quick. He's able to take jumpers off of dribbles, you know, get to the basket. I'm not telling you everything went in, but he was moving well, which I like to see.
He's a good player, Maz. He's a good player.
He is a good player, not a great player.
Oh, just stop it. Ian in New Bedford, your thoughts.
Yeah, I feel very happy that Brad Stevens finally shortened the rotation yesterday to seven guys, and that bum Brad Wanamaker barely played. I really like Marcus Smart and Gordon Hayward bringing the ball up when Kemba's not in there. And even though Smart only had four assists yesterday, Enes Kanter had a couple cleanups after he got to the basket too. So I felt really good about the win and keep Wanamaker on the bench, man.
Okay, Maury, I know you had a second guess though about some of the rotations yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the second half of that game, they're up so big, and then it's like they had to hang on to for dear life to hold on to that game, and I think it's because it's more about them being undersized and abused by a big and Nurkic, who finished with 30 and was killing them. And I thought that Brad Stevens was kind of dumb for leaving Daniel Tyson for so long because he was getting abused by Nurkic, and Kanter had a good first half. Like, I would have liked to have seen more from Kanter than you saw from Daniel Tyson out there. It's just a bad matchup, and it's one of the reasons. And I know you hate them, but it's one of the reasons I look at yesterday in that second half why I'm a scared of Philadelphia and their size. If Nurkic can do that to them, what the hell's Embiid going to do to them if he's actually trying, which I think he would. And it's the reason the Philadelphia's 3-1 against them before the shutdown. Like, they're a bad matchup. A team that has that kind of size, a bad matchup for this Celtics team.
So, by the way, just quickly, when I said I thought Tice was good, I meant in the Milwaukee game. I didn't put a ton of energy into yesterday's game because I was on the Bruins most of the afternoon.
Right.
Tice was good in the Milwaukee game, so I got my games mixed up. And yesterday, from what I gather, he wasn't all that impactful.
No.
But, you know, but just in general, if you just want to go on the results, you know, the Celts, and I agree, like a lot of individual guys look good. Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward. I would start with those three for sure. they still lost to Milwaukee, and they let Portland, which is one of the worst teams in the bubble. I mean, right? I mean, they didn't even want to be there. And when I say one of the worst, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's debatable. But they were the one team that voted against even going.
I mean, they've had a bad season. They've been banged up. They did make the Western Conference Finals last year. There's some talent. There's tons of talent in that backcourt. I think they're pretty good.
They made the West Finals last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Okay, so maybe I'll take it back. I don't know. They didn't even want to be there. They were under 500. They were out of the playoffs, I think, you know, when this thing started. So, I mean, either way, I mean, that's all that I'm saying, is that you still couldn't get past Milwaukee, and Portland isn't even expected to make the playoffs coming out of this thing. Be that as it may, I think the Celtics have shown up and have, you know, looked like they're in the mix. And as I say, you couldn't get past Milwaukee. You easily could have. You easily could have, if not for that charge call on Marcus Smart. What was your take on that whole debacle?
Oh, I thought ultimately it was a block. Okay, now look, you don't see often see calls reversed. So this is what bugged me about that game, is that there's no home court, but the refs are still going to protect the star players, and it feels like they're still going to call it like there's a home court. So now look, there are other gains that teams like the Celtics are going to get out of it with all the games being played on a neutral court. But at the end of the day, it felt to me like the league told the officials, we're still going to call the game in favor of the home team, even though there's no crowd. Like, that's what it felt like. So now on the charge, or, you know, charge slash block, I thought Smart was still moving when Giannis was in the air. So I thought he slid that other foot over the line and slipped in there when Giannis was in the air. I thought ultimately the call was correct. But, boy, it felt like there were a bunch of occasions there at the end where they could have called a foul on the freak and they didn't.
So you're saying the rule is that he has to have both feet set before the opponent goes in the air.
That's my interpretation of it. I've always thought that the guy had to be set. The defender had to be set.
People won't like it, but by the stupid letter of the law, the Marcus Smart call, that should have been reversed. You want to be mad about the one on Tice where he really hits him in the jimmy, and Tice played it up a little bit. That's the one he should have fouled out on.
So
I mean, that was a hostile act.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it was clearly a charge, and they got it right on the floor. And I think it's preposterous that you can replay that and have that, you know, one of those bang-bang judgment calls like that, you know, which is the hardest call to make in sports, just about block charge, pass interference. It's like it's in that category, right, which is a really hard call to make in real time. I thought in real time that was the right call. I think it was ridiculous that they reversed that. That's why we're using replay to, again, circumcise the mosquito on something like that. And so I think the Celts got porked on that, but I'm sort of glad because – that's the way the league is. And so this is interesting, Maz. I think you nailed it. Like, when they went to the bubble, we said, well, now we're really going to see who the real teams are, and it won't be so dependent on who's got the home court and who's got the home court referees. And that whole thing, that whole predictability of the NBA playoffs and the referee assignments and who's going to get the calls, that's out the window. Out the window, because it's neutral site, no travel, and I don't even know what the ref assignments look like. You know, a bunch of refs aren't even there. So it's like that whole thing's going to be taken out. And wouldn't you know it, first game back, it felt like hometown reffing.
Yep.
Even though, you know, they still go to the replay center in Secaucus, right, or wherever the hell. They're still going off site for that to make the call. So it wasn't even the refs on the floor that made the call. So they, you know, that was not, it's not like they were influenced by a home crowd. That was just the league once again taking care of a superstar. And as a Bucks fan, I say good. And for all the whiny Celtics fans, I would say to you, get another superstar and you'll get those calls. You'll get those calls just like you did with Bird, just like you did with Garnett and Pierce. You know, you got those calls when you had those guys. Make sure Tatum's that guy. Make sure you get those guys, and you'll get those calls. Otherwise, I don't want to hear your bitching. I don't want to hear your bitching after my entire childhood of the 80s of Bird, and especially McHale and Parrish, who traveled every single time he touched the ball. All these whiny bitches, never mind Ainge and Seashan, all that. That group got every freaking call in the book, and they should have because they were the stars and the league catered to the stars. So now here we are, the shoe's on the other foot, and that's just the way it's going to be, even in the bubble, Maz, and that is surprising, right? That felt like it's a game that would have been in Milwaukee in a hometown ref and a hometown call. Instead, we got it in the bubble. And, I wasn't sure we were going to get that. I thought we were going to get sort of a different league, a different look to these games. And they wanted to make sure Giannis stayed in that game.
It just goes to show you that it's not the crowd that's influencing the officials, right? I think we're sort of, you know, some people have been under the impression that they get in that arena and the place is going bananas and, you know, the officials lean towards the home team because of the crowd. It's not the crowd. It's the star player and it's how they do it. That's what it is. And not necessarily in that order. I just think that, but my guess is it wouldn't surprise me if they got wink, wink, nod, nod marching instructions. Remember, we're still going to call it for the home team. Like, that's how we're going to do it. So the only thing that the Celtics have going for them as a, you know, on neutral site is that there's that old theory that role players play better at home in the postseason. Okay, so maybe now you get more consistency out of some of those secondary guys. And on the Celtics, you know, they have, let's face it, they have four guys that that they should be able to kind of rotate in between and out of. And I think Hayward is now a secondary guy, and maybe he plays well.
Okay, your thoughts on that call. Your thoughts on the NBA in general in that, well, they've taken away the home road and the travel and all of that, but it's still the same old NBA in terms of catering to the superstars. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Add that to our Bruins discussion, our Major League Baseball discussion, to you at 617-779-0985 right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum's got to make the second, or these are going to be a very long 2.2 seconds in Celtics Nation. Second free throw. Right down the middle, and there's your ball game. Lillard will walk the dog. He will pick it up. He will try from half court and miss, and that will do it. For a wild bubble afternoon as the Celtics survive a furious
Celtics
onslaught.
Win.
A 76-point second
final
half
score,
for the Blazers, but they will fall short, and the Celtics will get their 44th win of the year and move another step closer to the three seed. The final score, Boston 128, Portland 124.
But I would say, just in general, I feel like I'm watching real NBA basketball games. I think the product's been pretty good. And the game presentation hasn't bothered me too much. I mean, they put so many bells and whistles in there that the fake crowd noise isn't as noticeable when they're playing the arena chants and they have the virtual fans up there, which I think kind of works. Like, I think it gives it a little something. It's better than looking at an empty seat. I'll say that.
Yeah, and it's not like they're focusing on it. Sorry to cut you off, but it's also that you see some movement. It does feel fan-like, fan-esque, which I do like. And with the camera angles, though, it's not like you're seeing it too much. It looks awesome.
And I think that the for the most part, the players on the benches are engaged, and that has sort of helped. And I think they've kind of pulled it off. I'm going to have to watch a few more hockey games, but I think, you know, largely they have too. And it just exacerbates the freaking dunderheads in baseball that had more time, more opportunity, a better sport to do it with because it's outdoors and socially distanced to begin with, that had the most to gain and the most to lose, and did by far the worst job of it, and frankly have already failed. The season in baseball is already a failure, and I've just seen basically over a weekend of the NBA and the NHL, and I already feel like they've done, you know, like they've done the job and they've given us a real product coming back to sink our teeth into, even though the Bruins have decided to not show up yet. To your calls here, Jay in the car on the Celts. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, I just want to talk about, they're not going to get the calls. They don't really have that superstar presence yet this year, but thing you guys aren't talking about is the coach, Brad Stevens. Like, the Spurs and Pop, you know, 5 or 6 years ago when they were making their runs, win championships, who was their superstar getting those calls? There really wasn't one altogether. And I think Brad has a lot to prove. He's coming up on 8 years. You know, 10 years is right down the road. And he's got to make a move, and I think he will. And I think they're just going to play good team ball. And I think
Well, Jay, let me just stop you because you're a little all over the map. I think Stevens...
Mass's face for that call was so great.
Oh, go ahead, please. You're overrating the coach. Would you stop at the coach when Pop was doing it? They had
what was the face? What was the face? The simulcast was in video.
I just sucked on a lemon, a bad lemon.
Disgust.
Like, you know, the whole Stevens thing. Like, geez, would you put that away? They had Kawhi Leonard. They had Tim Duncan. When they needed a player recall, they got one. Okay, so let's not get stupid about it. It's all about the marquee talent. And I'm not telling you, you know, but my point is this. I'm not going to blame Stevens if they lose the championship. Not yet.
Why not?
Because, if it happens in such a way that he blows it, great. But I don't think they have the talent that other teams do.
Tony, they have 4 All-Stars.
Big deal. I was going to say.
Oh, God, they don't have one of the top.
So we don't hold them to a higher expectation because they have 4 All-Star players?
They don't have one of the top 5 players in the league. And I think you need that to win. Now, I hope they prove me wrong. I hope we get the Pistons of, you know, 20 years ago. Whatever you were 15 years ago. Draw the line, you know, wherever it was. Like, fine. I hope we get it. But I don't think you win in that league without the superstar.
So you're saying that losing in 5 games to Milwaukee last year in the second round was a proper finish for that team with that talent?
No, that team had more talent. Well, in some ways it had more talent.
Well, I mean, they underachieved.
Yeah, they totally underachieved.
So I think they at least should take a Milwaukee 6-7. And if everyone's firing on all cylinders, they can still – the Bucks are beatable. The Bucks are vulnerable. For as many wins as they have and as good as they are, they're vulnerable. And you saw it again the other night. So I don't think there's anything wrong whatsoever. You know, for all the platitudes that Stevens gets – and you don't put him on him, Maz, so, I mean, I guess you're exempt from this. But, you know, all the Brad bots out there, I mean, if he's that great, at some point you got to break through. You know, and you know, when you've had talent – the last year that team had talent – and he was powerless to keep that thing together. And maybe all coaches are powerless in the face of a turbo a-hole like Kyrie Irving. And maybe that's your point, that the coach is just superfluous. But still, I mean, if you're going to give him the credit on one hand, you got to hold him accountable on the other. Should he have done more to get on the refs yesterday through those 2 Giannis plays?
So that's a good question. Yeah, I would say the one on Tice in particular stuck out to me. Like, had you ever heard that call in the NBA before? A hostile play or whatever? What did they call it again, Murray?
They have so many for cocking.
Hostile act.
A hostile act. Had you ever heard hostile act before?
I think I had, yeah.
I hadn't heard hostile act. I've heard of flagrant. I've never heard of a hostile act.
Flagrant 1, flagrant 2, hostile. Like, they've got all sorts of new stuff.
I've Dutch ovened the wife, and she said it was a hostile act. But never in a game.
Oh, God.
Is that like the Rusty Castillo?
Careful.
Oh, my God. John in Rockland on the blocking call. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, like Maz was saying, that was a block, because his feet weren't set outside the line before he got, even before he left the air. He didn't even have to be in the air or not.
Yeah.
His feet have to be set no matter what. And like Murray said, with the hostile act, that should have been a foul one. I agree with Murray, that should have been a foul one.
Giannis.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all just the stupidity of replay. I mean, it's just, like, I'll give you a whole day on that if you want. I mean, my feelings on this are well established. I mean, whether that was a block or a charge, I just don't think you should be replaying that play. It's just, it's too fine. It's just too bang-bang. It's too judgment-oriented. And if you start reviewing that every time, you'll be 4-hour games. Like, it's just, you know, like, you shouldn't replay that. But yet you can't, on that other one, if he, again, I don't know if I totally agree with you guys, it was that obvious that he hit him in the jimmy on purpose, if it was hostile. But either way, you can't create a foul that wasn't there. You can only replay a foul that was called, right? So you can review whether it was hostile, but you can't review whether it happened or not. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that was only reviewable for the hostile act, not the common foul.
Sure.
Which is like, why don't you just review it and tell us if there's a foul or not? Like, I don't get all those rules. Like, every replay variance has some sort of rule or technicality in it that's like, why? Why don't you just look at the replay and call what happened? Like, I don't get it. But that's the way replay is in every sport. It's like, well, how can I can review this but not review that? And why is that getting looked at and not this? It makes no sense, but that's the way it is in every league, in every sport, in every replay instance. It just doesn't work. When I say it doesn't work, it doesn't get the calls right that we want to get right. It just doesn't.
Oh, and that's like, you know, that was like the whole pass interference thing in football before they changed it and then changed it back. right? Like they couldn't, you know, throw a flag where there wasn't one, for crying out loud. And so, look, the one thing I will say about the officiating while we were talking about Giannis and then the Spurs and all that too, because I think it's important, if Tatum keeps bitching to the refs like he did.
Like he has since he's come into the league.
Oh, he's insufferable.
But I'll tell you what, it feels like he regressed during COVID.
Oh, that freaking look. Oh, that freaking look every time he goes under the rim. It's like, oh, God. You know, it's bad enough when LeBron does it with three, you know, championships in his holster. You got to at least win something before you start pulling that act. I don't know. That's where I sort of stand on that, Maz. It's sort of part and parcel with how much you've won.
Yes. If I'm the refs, I'm saying, so you don't want us to call him on Giannis, but you want us to call him on you? Dude, you haven't been in the league long enough. Shut up. Shut up. That's how it works. Shut up. Just play.
Justin in Boston, your thoughts on the replay.
Hi, guys. You guys kind of just touched on this. I don't really understand, and it kind of just blows my mind, that they can review the blocking call for Giannis and they can review the hostile act from him. But yesterday, on the last minute of the game, they had the backcourt. Whether it was a backcourt or not, I don't understand. I don't care, really. But I read somewhere, unless I'm wrong about this, that's not reviewable. I just don't understand how that's not reviewable, but the other things aren't.
Of course.
I'll get off and let you listen.
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole thing is, why is that reviewable and the other thing not? I mean, you can say about every sport. It's like, why are we looking at that? Why am I looking at the toe blade of someone's skate being a millimeter, or the width of a credit card, above the blue line? Yet, in a playoff game, the puck goes off the sheet, goes over the plexiglass, against the netting by the fans, bounces back onto the rink, and is shot into the net for a goal. Clearly should it not be, but we can't look at that. I mean, there's a million examples. How can I could look at this, but I can't look at that? And at the end of the day, the replay is there to get it right, and it ends up creating more frustration, and it feels like more blown calls, and you're somehow less satisfied with replay than you were even before, and them just getting the call. Like, I can accept them getting the call wrong. Like, I guess some people can't. Like, that to me is just, okay, he missed the call. That happens. Like, that I can accept. I've lived my whole life as a sports fan with that in my head. They can get the call wrong and you'll get screwed on a call. What I still can't wrap my head around is why you can't review the puck going over the plexiglass and hitting the netting by the fans. You can't look at that.
Yeah.
We go look at everything else?
Well, because they never imagined that someone would be so stupid as to miss that. That's sort of where I fell on that one. That one blew me away. Don't get me going on that one again.
So we continue with your thoughts. It is a re-entry Monday. It's presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Baseball, the Bruins, the Celtics return. We still have to get to the Patriots and all these opt-outs, but open lines for you at 617-779-0985. To you right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger Mass.
Hey, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now Giannis, who did not foul out of the game, has it here against Tatum. Tatum went for the steal. Giannis dribbles around him, goes past. Tice scoops it up and in.
Nope. That's a foul. He just fouled out of the game with a charge. Take the basket away. Marcus Smart just took the charge, and now he's out the game.
They have not made the announcement yet. Marcus Smart just got outside the circle. So it is an offensive foul on Giannis. Giannis got a second chance to survive here, but this one may foul him out.
What is this about a cat? How many lives can you have? I'm not sure if you're going to get nine this time.
A monster review going on right now.
This is the call of the game without Middleton in there.
James Capers.
Overturn. It is a successful field goal because it is a block on Marcus Smart.
They're calling a block on Marcus Smart. It will not be a charge on Giannis. He does not foul out, and it will be a chance for a three-point play.
Wow.
For Giannis.
Wow.
The excuse was I was late on the charge. They said the replay center said I was late and it was blocked. Quite frankly, I think we all know what that was about. Giannis is 6'5", didn't want to get him out. Just we'll call that spade a spade, and that's just what it is.
All right, that one cost Marcus Smart $15,000. But was he right? Was he right, Maz?
I think they get the call right because, again, I don't think he was fully set after Giannis was in the air. So now if you want to say to me how often do they reverse that, I would tell you rarely. Rarely. But, again, his foot was on the line. His left foot was on the line of the restricted area. And then he had to move it, and he was still moving when Giannis was in the air. And so, ultimately, they got the call right. But I told you my big takeaway from it is that I look at it and say, well, here we go. Even without fans, the NBA is going to, you know, favor the star player, and they're going to favor the home team. That's what they're going to do, with or without fans. And I just, you know, to me, that's ultimately how I felt about it.
So, to me, I do find it interesting, though. You know, Giannis gets in foul trouble a lot, and it's from offensive charges that really are, when he gets into foul trouble, he's usually got a couple of those on the docket as well, and that's how you play him. The Celtics know how to play him. And, you know, if they weren't such a train wreck internally last year, they would have had more of a chance because they did build a wall against him in the first game, and they just couldn't keep it together because they hated each other like poison. It was a bad team, bad mix. But but that's how you play him. You take the charge. And the whole thing with Giannis, you know, this is why he's just not there. I love the guy to death. I mean, I just think he's heart's in the right place, works his ass off, wants it, all of that. I just think he's just not there yet. And I also don't love the way they use him. Like, I don't love the way the Bucks have him bring the ball up the floor so often, because I think they're just sort of inviting that, and they want him to develop the three, which I get, but I think he'd be far more devastating, Maz, with a mid-range game if he had a stop and pop, because that's what all these teams are going to do. All these teams are just going to line up and take the charge, and he's either going to bowl over them on his Euro step, or he's going to lay back and take a three. But I mean, what if he could pull up? What if he could pull up in between and just hit these little 8-10 footers? He'd be unstoppable. Like, yeah. That to me is the game that I'd be developing. But the NBA is just, no one has that game anymore. But I think he's, or let someone else bring the ball up the floor and play with your back to the basket a little bit, which, again, doesn't happen. But there's just something, I know there must be a reason they do it. The Bucks have nerded out like everybody else, so it's not just Budenholzer. I think they have a team of nerds in there that probably tell him the spacing is such if he brings it up, and they can get this sort of set if he brings it up. And I don't get it. I don't think he's not a great ball handler, and he doesn't have a mid-range game. So he's either just, you know, launching a three or inviting a charge. And I don't know. I just think you can figure it out.
Well, so look, if you remember late in the game, they did put him down in the paint with his back to the basket, and he flipped one in over Tice. And I think, was that the play when he gave the flex? Remember that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he did. So I think that when they really need one, they put him down there because they know he's unstoppable down there. But I think your point's a good one. The Celtics had him a couple times in that game where they back off him when he's at the free throw line because they know he wants to go to the hoop. And if he can make that 15-footer every time, oh, then you're screwed.
I mean,
Yeah, you're
to me,
screwed.
That's it.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't need to shoot threes, I think, with the way he gets there. And the other thing I know, if you remember, too, there was a play where Ogilvy drew a charge on him where Giannis was out top and then turned around and tried to back his way in. And Ogilvy, like, once he turns his back and he's that far away, now you got him. Because you know he's gonna lead with his ass and go in there. And Ogilvy drew a charge on him. It was a good play. And so that might have been the fifth. That might have been the fifth foul now that I think of it. So, you know, to me, there's a lot of things with him you got to watch. But if he gets the ball with his back to the basket down, you know, near the bucket, oh, forget it. It's over. You're not going to stop him.
I just think there's a formula there on the Bucks, and it's really not that complicated. You take the charge on Giannis. I mean, that's it. That's what gets him into foul trouble. You can get him into foul trouble that way. And so you got to have guys brave enough to do it. And Marcus Smart's it. You know, he's a huge man barreling down on you. It's going to hurt. You have to take the body and hit the deck and whatnot. But if you're willing to do it, you get him into foul trouble. That gets him off the floor. And his free throw shooting is so spotty, he eventually stops going in there. And then what? He's just launching threes? Like, so Giannis just isn't there yet, unfortunately for Bucks fans like me. 617-779-0985, re-entry Monday, Dave in Plymouth on the Red Sox. How do you like your baseball team, Dave?
They're not exactly what you would call a juggernaut, but I do have a question on the extra players that they have in the bubble or something like that that are practicing. Can the Red Sox go and use those players, or does it have to be a COVID positive before they can go into that grouping?
No, well, it's a good question. My understanding is they can use them. That's
wouldn't you just try out all those guys? Like, the season's lost. So now go in and try out all the young pitchers in there and pick the best one for the future.
Yes. My answer is yes, Dave. And I read about this the other day, but you raised a good question about the COVID. I'll look into that. My understanding at the beginning, though, was that any of those guys could play at any time. And so, who did I read about the other day? Darwinson Hernandez, Brian Mata, and Tanner Houck. Those three guys are being stretched out. I think they've been working out with, you know, down at Pawtucket or something like that. And those three guys can be stretched out. And if I'm the Red Sox, yes, stretch their asses out, get them into some games. You might as well see what these kids can do and start prepping for next year.
So, in other words, go ahead. Is that what you're doing with the entire season? You're playing for next year. You're trading guys. You're playing kids. You're that's it. You're pulling the cord. And this is all about planning for the future.
I mean, so here's what I would tell you. 10 games into a 60-game schedule, I'm going to play it out for a few more, okay? You're playing Tampa Bay this week. Let's see what happens. If you have a good week, you're right back in it. Mike, when they went into the Yankee series, they were tied for the eighth playoff spot. They had a losing record, and they were tied. So, you know, all they have to do is win two out of three in two series, and they're right back in it. So I'm not ready to say that they're dead yet. But now you're asking me, do I think they're good enough to do that? Against the competition they're going to have to play in Tampa and New York, my answer is no.
I feel like yesterday was just a big swing game. I don't know. 4-6 feels doable to me. You know, you're that close to being .500 and being a playoff team. 4-6 and 3-7. I don't know. For these guys, feels like a world of difference. If you've been able to steal one against the Yankees on national TV, blah, blah, blah. So you're still sort of just hanging on there, giving yourself hope. But 3-7, I feel like hopeless. And the way you lost, ooh. Aaron Judge sticking his ass right in your face twice, you know, and the second one was with one of your best pitchers on the mound, and that was Barnes, right? Like, that's the guy you want in that situation, and Aaron Judge absolutely pulverizes the baseball. I feel like that was sort of the death knell to me. It feels like that's it.
Oh, totally. Look, and the other thing, too, and I know I keep harping on the curveball thing, but if you've watched Judge in the postseason, you know how teams get him out? High fastballs. He's a big guy. He, and let's say ultimately you walk him or whatever. But if you're throwing anything that is moving less than, like, you know, mid-90s, call it, say 94 and above. If you're throwing anything that is that speed, that's in the middle of the strike zone or down, he's going to annihilate it. He's going to annihilate it. And they're throwing him curveballs. Their approach on the mound just irritates the living crap out of me. For crying, I can't tell you how much I hate it. So, which is why I love every time they throw a curveball, I want to see it hit 500 feet.
We continue with your thoughts: Celtics, Red Sox, and Major League Baseball, and the Bruins restart. All of it. Back to your phones in our long commercial-free segment next.
Dugger Pass. Sports, Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mash.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mash.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaylen Brown on the wing.
Oh,
Tice got hit.
And that could be, look at this, this could be on who?
Getting
a foul. It could be on Giannis.
It has to be Giannis.
And he could be fouled out of the game. If you do this.
Giannis sets a screen. Or Tice sets a screen. And he did. Giannis reached out with the left hand. They had to blow the play down.
He got hit by Giannis. And now they're calling a timeout. But that should be a foul with Giannis fouling out of the game.
It doesn't matter what kind of foul you call. If that's a foul on Giannis, he is out of the game with 2:30 to go.
Go ahead. Say it like it is. Just say it. Get out of the game. You should be out of the game.
There's no infraction on the play. There's no hospital.
No infraction on the play.
What did he do? Would he double over because he had gas? What happened? Boom! Right there. Hostile act. Guy gets hit in the stomach. What do you call that? A pat on the belly? Boom! We get a chance to see it again. Oh, man. Come on now. Come on. Clearly a foul on Giannis. But this is one of the things you think about. How are you going to foul superstars out of the game?
Apparently you're not.
What did LeBron say that time? I don't foul out.
So that was interesting in that no home crowds and a whole different atmosphere, neutral sites. You just lose that whole thing with the crowd influencing the refs. So is it the crowd or is it the player itself, himself, you know, and how the league wants it done, protecting the superstars? And I think you saw it there, the NBA protecting Giannis in that game. Both of those plays could have fouled him out of the game. But there you go. So maybe that's still going to apply, Maz, whether there's fans in the stands or not. The home team, superstars, are still going to get the calls. I'm glad as a Bucks fan. But in terms of, you know, a fan of the sport, I don't know. I'd like to just see it called straight up every once in a while, that the superstars get treated the same as everybody else. Back to your phones, as promised, on everything. Steven in Boston on the Bruins. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, Mike. As far as the Bruins are concerned, I was thinking about the fact that you're actually, like, leaving another area to come in to watch a game. So I watched that game yesterday. I don't know. The takeaway was that if you have a hot goalie this year, I think you're going to win. But if you have fresh legs. But that was the most boring game that I ever took time out of my midday on a Sunday in the summer to watch. And they better step it up because I don't know where that was coming from.
Okay, let me stop you. They sucked. And did they intentionally suck, or are they just old and this layoff has hurt them? It's one of those two things, because they did indicate they were going to treat these games more like preseason games than playoff games.
Right.
And that's the way it looks. So if they're really trying and they look this way, then you're in trouble. And you have a right to be pissed. If they're doing this intentionally, then I think you can be less concerned, except you say, boy, you got a really high opinion of yourself that you think you're suddenly a flip-the-switch kind of team. I don't know if the Bruins are. I don't know if they've ever been a flip-the-switch kind of team. But this whole bitching about, you know, I took time out of my day and I'm so freaking horny for sports and hockey. I didn't care that they laid an egg. I didn't sit there asking myself, what am I doing with myself here? I looked at myself and I said, finally, I'm doing what I meant to do. I don't care how nice it is outside. I don't care what's going on. I like playoff hockey. I like the Bruins. This is what I do. I'm thrilled to be sitting in front of a hockey game as much as they sucked. And there I was taking notes to rip them today. I wasn't questioning myself at all. I'm not a fan. I guess maybe I come at it from a different place. But I'm glad to have it back, even with the Bruins sucking. I certainly hope they don't suck. But we're doing a sports show today because sports are largely back, other than Major League Baseball. Basketball and hockey, and we'll see on football, is actually giving us something to sink our teeth into. And I'm thrilled for it, frankly. And if you're not, you're not. I mean, go do something else then. Here's Joe in New Hampshire on players opting out. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how you doing today? You know, I listened to you guys, you know, talking about this and, you know, whether it's baseball or the football. In my opinion, not all, but many of these guys, they live a lifestyle. One, they don't have to play because of the money, but it goes beyond that. The regular thing they do in their normal life, they don't do what you and I do. They don't wait 3 days for the guy to come fix the AC. They don't wait an hour in traffic. They don't get bad food at restaurants. And now that this whole sports thing has changed, they basically are saying, I don't like this whole format, and I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
They're just not inconvenienced for the most part on anything that us normal, everyday people tend to have to deal with.
Okay, but here's the difference. Yeah, Joe, then you're just singling out baseball players because it feels to me like the multimillion-dollar basketball players are, for the most part, doing the right things, and it feels to me like the vast majority of NHL players are doing the right things. I don't hear about NBA players in the casino, in the hotel bar, You know, I just hear about the baseball players. There's not a COVID bus full of infected basketball players being driven across the country like we have with the Miami Marlins right now, because they're quarantined for a week in Philadelphia because some of their players went to the clubs in Atlanta or the hotel bar in Miami or whatever the hell they were doing. And there's not games being canceled left, right, and center because players went to the casino like apparently the St. Louis Cardinals did. It's baseball players that can't be bothered. Feels like the other ones are making some sacrifices.
Oh, totally. Look, and I'll be honest, I'm eager to see how it goes with football, okay? Because then we'd be able to do it apples to apples a little bit more in that they're starting the season. You know, they're not in a bubble, whereas the NBA and the NHL were in, I want to say the middle. They were near the end and now have to just, you know, ramp up again for the postseason to crown a champion. So there are some differences there, but the bottom line is the NBA and the NHL players were committed to going into a bubble and playing it out. They were committed to doing that. Baseball players are not. Now, football players, I don't know. I can't predict. But I think the sport in general requires more discipline and more thought for others and that sort of stuff than baseball does. So, you know, but the obviously there are more numbers there, so it gets complicated. I want to see how that goes.
You nailed it. The basketball and the hockey players were willing to sacrifice.
They committed to it. Yep, they committed to it.
At least something. They were willing to spend time away from their families for weeks, if not months. And they're doing it. The baseball players could not be bothered. And is that really a shock? Joe in Vermont. Go ahead, Joe. What do you got?
Oh, I mean, I was just wondering if you got sick on vacation or maybe you got some of Murray's gummies, like got into his stash. Do you really think this Sox team is Chaim Bloom's fault?
Oh, y'all, more than Ron Radke's fault. Way more.
You don't think this is the ownership's fault? They hired him. They knew exactly what this man was and what he would do. And I don't think Chaim Bloom went to like Henry and was like, hey, I'm going to say that this had nothing to do with the salary cap. Like, that comes down to ownership, Felger.
That's fine.
He's just doing him.
So the question was, that you were talking about before, we got a call about Renicky. And I think it's, if I'm talking about the manager versus the general manager, to me it's far more on the GM. I mean, what's Ron Renicky supposed to do with Ryan Webster and who was the guy last night?
Ryan Weber.
You know, Austin Bryce.
Ryan Weber, Austin Bryce. I forget their names the second I hear them.
You should.
You know, it's like, so Ron Renicky ain't picking those guys. The GM's picking those guys. But if you really want to go to the root, fine. I mean, the root is how the organization treated the whole Mookie Betts transition and the whole roster transition. Fine. I'll blame the owners more than anyone else. But when I look at the pitchers that are being thrown out there or the lineups even, I think it's the nerds. I think it's the GM that's putting that together, not the field manager. But we will circle back to the Red Sox and Major League Baseball with your calls. Also Celtics on the board and Bruins. But I do want to get to the NFL and the Patriots and more players opting out. They continue to have players quit on the team. This is what's going on. Multiple players, and the list grew over the weekend, of players wanting to quit on the team. And there's more. I think there's more that want to quit and are going back and forth on whether to do it or not. And some really important guys, and I must think maybe even some tipping point guys. Uh-huh. Some tipping point guys are considering quitting the Patriots this year amid the COVID pandemic. So we will pick up on that after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.